Life Audio.
Faith Over Fear is brought to you by Life Audio and is part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit us at lifeaudio.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Faith Over Fear podcast, where we attack our most pervasive fears with truth, because life's too short for any of us to live enslaved. At Holy Love Ministries, we're passionate about helping God's children live in freedom. We'd love to connect with you online or on social media. Just visit our show notes to learn how to connect with us. I'm Kimmy Miller.
And I'm Tammy Whitrock.
Last week, we talked about the fear of walking into the unknown and the lie that says it will never be as good as it is right now. Tammy, you shared your story about leaving a church and how that was really a stepping into the hallway, so to speak. You didn't actually know what was next, but you knew what God was calling you to do. And right. So you stepped out into that unknown place. And I think sometimes we have to understand that just like Abraham's story, many times when God is calling us out into the unknown, there are greater blessings waiting out there for us and for others than we would ever be able to experience if we allowed our fears to keep us from moving at all. And I think sometimes, you know, it's one thing to internalize God's promises and the things that he has whispered to you in those quiet places. It's a totally different fear of saying those things out loud and expressing them. Don't you?
Yeah, totally. And I love looking up definitions because I feel like in our minds, we think a word means one thing when it totally means a different one. So you use the word express our faith or express our journeys where we're going with God. But that actually means to show, manifest, or reveal, which guess what? That's not an internal thing. That is a public outward type of thing. And you know, we've all had those faith walks. But, you know, I love how God can use our own personal faith walk to touch other people, to encourage them by who's watching, who's walking alongside of you, who's praying for you or with you during that time. So it was about 6 years ago when my husband and I were on our own faith journey of believing God was going to call us to end our military career here in Omaha. And we actually had orders to Virginia. So, yep, we stood in faith believing God was going to cancel those and let us stay here. And he had so many people around us praying for us and watching this all unfold. And one of them was my uncle, who had questions about faith and about Jesus. And he loved watching this play out. Well, he made the comment one time that, you know, if these orders come through and they stay here, I will believe in a God that is bigger than I know.
Well, okay. I got to stop you there just because I have a question. So when you say military orders, that's when the military is going to move you for the mission or whatever. So you don't have a lot of say in that.
You guys are 0%, I think.
And you were Navy, right? Yes. And so, and an officer. So this idea of like, you guys were going to move, right? Like that was the norm. So for you to not move was really unheard of.
Yeah, it really took a miracle. It was going to take a miracle. So the outcome and outlook wasn't really great, you could say. But there's just that piece that we knew that we knew. We didn't know how, we didn't know when, and we kept believing. And so when my uncle made this statement, I went back to praying and I felt like the Lord said, go tell him I heard what he said and I'm coming for him. Okay. Oh. This did huge things for my faith because I'm like, well, we're going to get orders here. It's going to be great. Right, you know, because salvation is on the line. But, you know, I want to say I was just like, okay, let's go, Lord, let's do it. But I was hesitant because I think the biggest lie that I was believing during that time was, God, what happened if you don't come through? What happens if you don't show up? What does that mean for me? What am I going to look like? You know, and so through a lot of prayer and God just reiterating the word to go tell him, I did. I went to my uncle and I said, God heard what you said and he's coming for you. And he said, well, tell him I welcome his invitation. Like, you know, come and get it. And so here's what I began to see, that the truth was, be still and know that I'm God. Tammy, you do your part and let me be God. Right? Just be obedient and be the messenger and I'll come. I promise I will. So, I mean, I'm happy to report after many months of waiting, God did cancel the orders. We got orders here and I got to hand deliver those to my uncle, slide him across the table. When he got them, he teared up. He smiled at me and he says, "I can't believe it."
That makes me want to tear up too. I mean, yeah. Just hearing that.
And, you know, I think on this side, if I would have just let it be my faith walk, how would his been eternally affected? If I wouldn't have been obedient for God to say, invite him into this because I got something for him too. I think, wow, what would I have missed? And in hindsight, what would he have missed?
Yes.
Big questions, but big fears too.
Yeah. Well, last week, like I said, we talked about Abraham or Abram's call and the two steps we identified that we could apply in our own life to moving past our fear of the unknown. And if you weren't able to catch last week's episode, I highly encourage you to go back and give it a listen because there was such great insight and conversation there. But that actually leads into today's podcast, where we're talking about a third step that we can take in walking out our faith, which is praise along the way and overcoming the fear of public proclamation. So picking it up back in Genesis in chapter 12, verses 5 through 8, it starts here. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord.
Wow. You know, it made me think about last week when we talked about how uncommon this was back in the day. You don't just get up and leave your land, not unless you don't have any land or you're a fugitive and you're on the run. So for him to do this in the first place is so crazy. But I love to picture what it must have looked like in verse 5 when he sees the land he's going to get and there's people there. Not only just everyday people, they're people who are involved in idolatry. I mean, they're sinful people. And he's like, "Here's your land, buddy. This is going to be yours." And I have to think, okay, a whole blanket of doubt, right? Like, really? This is the promise? You know how it looks so different through our eyes. But then you also see, it talks about that tree of Moreh, which if you read through scriptures, this particular tree served as a marker for future generations. I love how they say it is a faith mark, where this tree is going to speak throughout generations of God's faithfulness to so many of Abraham's descendants. I absolutely love that part. You know, have you had in your own life those markers where God sends you that one thing that's very personal and meaningful that's like, okay, you're on the right path. Here's a little confirmation for you. And it's different to all of us, but I love how he did that for Abraham too.
I love that. And I think it is important for us to even have those faith marks. Right. Yep. Like you said, whether it is a life verse or I remember when I stepped into my position as a pastor for women's ministry at that time, everyone kept coming up to me and saying, "For such a time as this, for such a time as this." And I remember asking my husband, who sometimes it's not that he's pessimistic, but I think sometimes he does doubt the, I don't know, maybe the intimacy of God and that God wants to have with each of us. And so I remember asking him, like, "Hey, Mikey, everyone keeps saying this verse," which was my life verse. That is my life verse, Esther 4:14. And so I said, "People keep saying this to me. Do you think that they know that that's my life verse? Or do you think that that's God?" And for those of you that might be in this place of like, I'm still questioning you, God. Is that really you? I loved my husband's answer because it gave me enough to keep believing. And he simply said, "Are you encouraged by it?" And I said, "Yes." And he goes, "Then quit trying to analyze it."
No, that's good.
"And believe in your heart what it is you need to believe to trust in God and move forward." No, it's so good. But so for me, I don't know if that's the exact same as a faith mark, like we're talking here about this tree of Moreh, but there are many times when I'm in this season that verse will come around as an affirmation. And it also reminds me to look back at that time, right? To look back and say, "Oh, that's right. That's where God met me in that place."
So true. During that season, when I was talking about trying to get our orders canceled to get new ones, God kept sending us the word home. And it was whether it is in a verse or through a song, like he used everything, but we just kept seeing the word home. And that was just that confirmation, like, hang tight, I'm not done yet, hang tight. And I think without those faith marks, where we would have been. And I felt like God sent them to us just at those moments where it's like, we're struggling here, we can't see it. And then we'd get another dose of hope just through that faith mark, just like Abram got for so many years. But you know, I love his response. You can see in verse 7 and 8, what did he do? He built an altar and he praised along the way. And if you're looking to keep your faith to yourself, you're not going to build an altar, right?
Right.
If you want to be able to keep this quiet just in case it doesn't turn out, you're not going to do this public display, but it's what he did. Mm. And I wonder sometimes if he did it for his own doubts, like, nope, we're going to make this big and bold just to quiet the doubts within him. Like, I like to think that sometimes even in the midst of it, he was like, nope, God, I'm going big. Just because he needed that. He needed to see the evidence of God's goodness before his own eyes too. You know, and it says in verse 8, where he called on the name of the Lord. Yeah, this wasn't private in prayer. This was public. Everybody could see it. And because of that, he could bless so many other people watching this journey and God's faithfulness unfold, not just his own.
So good. Just like, I mean, that's your story,
right?
That's the same as the story that you just shared, and that you made this public proclamation. And then, I mean, I'm sure that there were moments that you had doubt, right? Well, you just said mm-hmm. that there were, and, yep. and yet you saw that faith mark of home or whatever it might've been, but for you, it was home, keep coming up. Right. And I think even that reveals the tenderness of God's heart towards us.
Yeah.
Right. That he will faithfully, when we take that step and when we say, this is what I'm going to believe, he's so good and kind to us to come in and to back us up. And I think that's what we have to believe. And the fear is that he's not going to, but I can tell you that his record proves true. If God says, do this, I will be there. He's going to be there. Mm-hmm. He's never going to ask you to do something and then not show up or be like, oh, Gabriel, what time was that appointment with Kimmy?
I missed that one.
Never going to happen. That's the faithfulness of our God. And so I love this idea that Abram did all of that.
Right.
In faith.
Right.
And just said, this is where I stand.
Yeah. And you can see where he became a blessing to the nations. If he would have kept all of this in his tent, nobody saw what he was going through. I mean, think of how many generations would have been affected in a negative way. But people got to watch this all play out, even with their doubts or their own fears, or, hey, I'm kind of into this whole idolatry thing, I'm not really paying attention. But then they saw God's glory fall. They saw him being faithful. And how many people were affected by Abraham living his story out loud, letting people see it, regardless of what it looked like today. I believe what it will be tomorrow is worth showing the world. And that's really what he did. And it just creates a boldness in you to be like, wow. You know, my husband and I often joke, like, we can both have doubts, but we can't have doubts at the same time. Somebody's got to anchor one another, because we're all going to go through those seasons. But it's worth living your faith out loud, because God uses it in such a powerful way. Such a powerful way.
Yes. And I think it is easy to get caught up in our own lives and be, sometimes for me, I can become so self-focused mm-hmm. that I forget that God's painting a bigger picture.
Right.
And that just like your story, when I make that public proclamation of my faith and the promise that I'm standing on, the world is watching, whether it's my children or my neighbor or my, you know, my coworkers. When I say the world, you know, that sounds so big, but really it's small. It's not that big, because it could just be one, as in your case, your uncle, the one that we know of, right?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that's just God being so good to us too, showing us that fruit mm-hmm. of our faithfulness, just because he doesn't have to. But that you got to see your uncle come around and know that he knows
yeah.
that God is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will. I just think that's a beautiful story.
Yeah, he's so faithful to that. You know, I think you summed it up well when we're talking about an expression of faith. Those hallway moments to live them out loud. Why? Because the world is watching, right? Not for our glory, but for what God is going to do in it. It's worth it. It's worth every feeling, every doubt, everything that we feel along the way. It's all worth it because he is.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And if you haven't already done so, we encourage you to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss a single episode. Be sure to rate it. That helps others to find it and encourages our team. Share it with your friends too. We hope that today you gained insight and courage to live as one who knows and loves the God who cares and provides for them. Until next time, may you step out publicly proclamating and praising the one who has allowed you to live as one who has truly been set free.
Faith Over Fear is a production of Life Audio and Salem Media. If you liked what you heard today, please take a second to rate and review this podcast in your favorite podcast app so that more listeners like you can find the show. For more faith-filled, inspirational podcasts, visit us at lifeaudio.com.
Everyone wants to change the world. Capital Ministries is doing just that, one heart at a time, by creating disciples of Jesus Christ among political leaders in the U.S. and foreign nations. For more than 25 years, founder Ralph Drollinger has written Bible studies specifically for public servants. Study along with us and learn what the Bible says about capitalism, communism, abortion, same-sex marriage, and other contemporary issues. Subscribe and follow us at lifeaudio.com or search Capital Ministries on your favorite podcast platform.